when you guys were growing up or in school or whatever, did you ever have to deal with going through something where you would eat so much of one particular food item that now you're just like, that's it? I can't do it anymore.
Bologna.
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 Or are you saying that are you saying that I'm bologna?
You're bologna.
No. I mean, that's beside the point, okay? Let's not talk about you, Jake, all right? Let's talk about me and this bologna, all right? My mom got a very specific brand of bologna that had, like, you know, the red ring that led,
Yeah. The good kind.
She always, it was the good kind. Arguably the good kind, yes. However, just had it so much that I think since I've moved out, I think I've only had it once.
And was it just to try it and like, oh, yeah, that was good?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I remember that. I'm like,
oh.
Yep.
that's why I don't have it, because I've, yeah.
That's why.
I'm weird. And it's funny, I go through this with Rebecca all the time because she sours on something we've eaten multiple times, like, in an instant. She'll go from, this is my favorite meal. We'll have it, like, three times, and then she'll look at it, and she'll be like, done. I'm not eating this anymore. I'm like, all right? But that's where I come in. If I like something, I'll eat it forever. Like, I don't think I've ever had that experience of, like, I've eaten something so much I don't want it.
Oh, wow.
And, like, and that goes for someone, like, I would eat, like, ramen every day for, like, 2 years. Never got tired of it. Just top ramen.
Yeah.
As a teenager. Because I was like, I can cook this. It's easy and it's just delicious. So yeah, I've never had that experience. If I like something, I'll eat it no matter what.
I've had an experience where I ate way too much of something. Because when I was younger, my grandfather would always come whenever he'd visit. For some reason, I have no idea why. Maybe it was something from his childhood. He would always bring cantaloupe.
Hmm. Okay.
Like two cantaloupes, and he'd cut them up and we'd have it for breakfast.
Yeah.
I ate so much cantaloupe one morning, I just vomited all over our backyard. So much. Yeah. And to this day, I still love it. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never heard of that.
I have absolutely told you that story before.
It's so wild because talking about that, my dad is allergic to whatever is in melon. I know, and it's like lucky melon guy. Is like
no, it's I actually know a couple people like that too.
Melon is like what 95% water or something crazy. And,
yeah.
He says it smells good, and he's like it would probably taste nice, but it makes him sick every time. So like you saying that just reminded me of that I'm like. That's kind of sucks.
Yeah, I think in PA around the time he was growing up, like, because I think a lot of people grow cantaloupe in PA. It's like it was like the fancy fruit at the time.
Yeah, so. Just like cultural or something. Yeah,
yeah. So I love it. Kelly, go to hell.
I mean, there's only one good melon. If it's anything besides watermelon, it's like, what are you wasting your time with?
I think it depends on the cantaloupe, to be honest.
It wildly depends on how good the melon is.
I'll eat cantaloupe like once a season. And I'll be like, that was fine, and then I'll never ever want it again. I've had my cantaloupe.
So that's your too much food is having cantaloupe once.
No, I said I just don't like cantaloupe. I just don't like pretty much any melon.
I'll say that is the big difference. It's like the same thing. I'm actually with Kelly on a lot of this because I can eat the same thing over and over and over and keep doing it. Like, I do not care. I mean, it's how I usually get through meal prep most of the time. But
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can get bored, but it's not like... And then sometimes I'll go, let me try it up, and I'll spice it up a little bit differently. But, yeah, there's foods I kind of detest, but it's not because I've ate it so often. It was just,
right, it's just...
I just don't like it.
Yeah, have you guys had watermelon steak?
Oh, grilled? Like, grilling it on a something, or no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
No.
Oh, sounds so like good. I've made it before. I actually want to make it again. But basically, you just, like, slice watermelon into, like, steak-thick pieces. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then you, like... I'm pretty sure the process is you just, like, salt them heavily and, like, put soy sauce on them and then just, like, leave them in the fridge overnight.
Oh,
and they turn into, like, this, like, fleshy texture that's very similar to steak. And then you just grill it. And because of the soy sauce and the salt, it kind of tastes like steak. It's like this stupid vegan hack, but it's actually kind of good.
I mean,
you're gonna be like, hey, Hitty Manuel, want to come over for steaks?
Oh my god!
I would never order someone like that.
I admittedly would like to try that, but if I ever started, I'd be like, fuck it, I'm just eating the watermelon.
The first time I had it was at my work, because like most of the people who run my company are all vegans. So, but they got catering, and there was watermelon steak. It was like in my first year there, and I was just like, is this watermelon? And they were like, yeah. I was like, all right. I tried it. And I was like, holy crap, this is good. I had like five pieces because it was just fucking watermelon.
And is that when they branded your thigh with the word vegan?
Yep, got it right here.
But no, when you started to explain it, it sounded like those like rage bait videos where it's like, what do they call it, Tasty or whatever, the like Instagram account that they just make videos just to piss you off and like and just to get people to like angry comment, and they just make the most like disgusting looking like meals. That's what it sounded like when you started. I was like,
oh, I've seen rage bait videos about this exact food item. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is like, rage bait, but you know,
I think he's fucking with us. I think he's fucking with us, like with the pizza and the chestnuts. I think he's fucking with us right now.
Sounds obtuse.
Literally, just Google watermelon steak, and you'll see pictures of it, and you're like, holy shit, it looks kind of good.
Well, I don't know what your kink is, Cal, but I'm not Googling it.
Oh my god.
Oh wow, yeah, that does look like steak.
I'll bite.
Yeah, it's odd how that looks.
But it works, yeah, though. It's so good.
Yeah, because I had it. It was a friend's place that I was over, and they did it like that. But they had it like cubed up and like basically back in the fridge. And they were like, "You want to try it?" I'm like, "Sure." And I was like, "This acts pretty damn good." I mean, it's
so weird.
It's weird. Believe me, it's weird. Because I've had it like when they're just like, "Ah, let's just grill watermelon on there," and it doesn't quite work. But it also kind of brings out the sugars in it a little bit too. So
yeah,
it
caramelizes them.
Yeah, so it's not terrible. Either way, I mean, it's really hard to screw up.
Oh, man, here's a question though: if you take a piece of watermelon and you cure it and you cut it in thin round pieces, can you make watermelon bologna?
See, these are the questions I want answered.
This is what we're trying. Do you have a slicer? We can do this.
We have the technology.
I think the only reason why this isn't done more is because buying that many watermelons just to turn them into steaks would be weird.
Yeah.
Having a whole market on that would just be a very strange selling point. All right, guys, invest in my watermelon steak company.
Come on, because we're going to upcycle the leftovers for watermelon bologna.
Yes, exactly.
What's even funnier is when you grind up watermelon, it just turns into water. So that doesn't work in any way.
So the one of the things that brought this up, I was talking with Hannah about this. How like so this is funny. My stepdad told me stories about how like when he was a kid, right, and his mom would make so much spaghetti that him and his two sisters had to like find ways to eat it. Okay, because spaghetti was a cheap and effective and filling meal. And so they were like putting it on bread. They were, you know, putting it like they spaghetti were like sandwich, spaghetti man. Sub. Yeah, dude, but like apparently it was just like even those got too much. Like it was just like there was just so much spaghetti in the house that they were just like we can't even put it on bread. It's so much.
I was about to say I did that me in college. Like definitely, you know, spaghetti is like easy to do that, but sometimes it'll just take away enough of the sauce, like put it in the pan to kind of brown it a little bit more. And then chop it up really fine, and then I made like quesadillas with it. So I made this bastardization of like, and I was like, "Oh, okay, let's just add green verde sauce on it." Boom, or a verde, yeah, just it worked.
Oh my god,
yeah, like
that's amazing.
I would make horrible, horrible concoctions out of it just because I was like, I don't feel like eating spaghetti, but that's all I have.
That's definitely the thing I would think of when I'm stoned.
I mean, geez, you could just make a spaghetti steak.
Yes. Yeah. Just add actually cheese slices on top.
Kelly, let's not be fucking ridiculous here. Talk about the spaghetti quesadilla, please.
I draw the line of spaghetti steak. Watermelon steak, I'll try.
Cube it up as much as possible. Compress it into a brick. I mean, you're good.
I mean, that's the thing. In college, that's where you get real, real creative with the things you're doing.
I can do a lot.
I mean, I I had a friend that we would, well, we were very stoned, but we would take the Chinese food and put that on pizza.
That actually sounds fucking delicious.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was really good, especially because we were on another planet. But yeah, that was the thing I looked back on, and I was like, that looked really weird if somebody was just watching us do that. Just like, bro, are you putting Chinese food on your pizza?
I could wrap some crab rangoon in a slice of pizza. That'd be good.
General's chicken.
Crab rangoon goes everywhere.
I think I'm just really hungry because I haven't eaten dinner.
And
oh, that's right.
Yeah. Well, let's sink our teeth into this episode. Last time you guys got to, you finally finished off the three figures that you were in a confrontation with, and you rescued a slave, and then you opened up a door and found a bunch of other slaves, one of them being the missing man Zamak, who had run away from his honeymoon, unfortunately, and you found him. And he was so happy to get back to his newlywed life.
Oh, was he?
But
just like compared to forced labor, he's like, I guess I'll go back to my wife.
Oh, I forgot.
He was real one ball chain to the other. And then everyone was laughing. It was hysterical.
So I want to focus in on something during that fight, though. There was a point when the Scarlet Triad agent, her name was Thea. That was on her name tag, by the way. You guys didn't ask. Yeah. She had a name tag. When she was dominating, mm-hmm. you guys were asking her questions. And Ambrose had come up and like got in her face and was like asking her questions. And the entire fight, if anybody had looked over, there was some like innate rage in him. And he had been pretty calm and collected until this moment. And there was like this power surging through him, and it was fueled by just some sort of deep anger, right? But I want to go back 5 minutes before that fight, in which all of you are looking around the house. Sandor is looking in the second floor. The other two of you are looking in the main room, and you're searching around. And Ambrose had gone outside. And what we see is Ambrose go up to that door that goes into the basement. And as he goes to walk back to tell you guys, he starts to see shadows sort of popping up around him. And you ever do that thing where, like, you think you see something out of the corner of your eye, or you think you see a figure, you know, like, poking out from behind something? It's in your peripheral, but it's, like, very visible for him. And it's like, those figures don't really go away. And they seem to be, like, almost reaching out. But they, like, won't come close enough to Ambrose in this moment. The ebbing and writhing shapes, held back by something as simple as the light in this area, sort of take Ambrose by surprise for a second. But he feels some safety here, in this place.
Well, you are simply going to have to wait if you want to bite out of me. For now, I require some patience.
Kneeling and setting down his bag, several black candles were retrieved and soon formed inside of a circle. With a few lines of chalk and a few occult markings, his job was done. Here we go.
Luca, keep watch for me.
The spectral figure of his personal guard takes point, gazing down at the aristocrat with a somber gaze before doing as he was told. This was clearly not the first time he had witnessed this, but every single time, there was a twist in his soul. And with a snap and a wave and a click of his fingers, all of the candles are lit at once, sending the shadows in a bit of a frantic dance before settling down again. Perhaps they were curious at what this man was doing, or they could have at one point recognized the ritual if their minds were still lucid and not focused on the constant gnawing hunger. Holding a small dagger in his palm, Ambrose squeezed until his reddish skin became blemished and the crimson hue of blood
rock underneath.
drops splattered onto unholy earth.
Come to me, those who share my bond.
The candles dimmed for a moment, before changing from orange
to those who accept my call.
Ambrose felt a chill roll up his spine.
You will see my revenge come true.
His eyes would open to no longer violet eyes, but to pure silver. Lips twitching as his breathing soon hastened.
Answer me. Who are you?
There was a silence as the candles returned to normalcy. A single flicker through each as the shadows dared to shift a foot closer before floating back away. They felt something coming. Ambrose began to speak in Necro. Oh.
Well, that is a voice I haven't heard in a while.
There was a small smile here from
Ambrose. Welcome, Zandro. So good to hear from you again.
It was almost like a one-sided conversation for the man, who laughed at times and
I
shook his
I thought you
head.
Were lost when you simply disappeared on your trip to Absalom. Yes, I see. Oh,
Ambrose smirked.
Remember Benson? Bed up with him again. Yes. Full-fledged champion now. Still righteous. In a good way, of course, but you know, when he's just simply gone again.
The smile disappeared, turning into something close to annoyance and contempt before flipping back again.
And who is this I sense? Who else is there?
The smile soon disappeared.
And he's going to listen. You know how arrogant.
Greetings, Commander Gretel. Long time.
Silence followed before a fit of laughter.
You know me too well. Please, we all have the same goals, and I appreciate any assistance. But we put aside our differences to clear your name of someone who wasn't killed by poison.
The feeling of rage washed over him before it
believe
subsided.
Me, they will pay soon, and believe I will know the cost, and I am prepared to see it paid. I see you soon.
The smile returned as the flames turned green. Who would he encounter now? Necrol soon turned to Draconic.
Well, greetings to you, Varishna. I believe Rushinov spoke of you. You know how those omen dragons are.
What could be deemed as a shared laugh would cause the Viscount to muse over a book he read in his library when he collected more of the occult knowledge of the world.
Thank you for your support.
The flames turned scarlet. That chill returned to the point that he felt it within his bones. Fear gripped his heart, breathing speeding up to almost hyperventilating, before letting out a growl in defiance. Clearly he was being besieged by voices to the point that his hands reached to his ears to drown out the cacophony.
You listen here.
More draconic was spoken as the flames grew larger, and yet produced no reprieve from
How
the horrid
dare you
shadows.
Speak to me in such.
There was a moment that fear was spreading more and more before he finally calmed himself. Silence followed before his eyes opened again.
I can promise that. If you promise to listen, I shall give you a glorious feast.
The candles glowed brightly before finally being snuffed out. Everything seemed to grow into silence before finally Ambrose stood. Cleaning off his clothes, he looked down at the circle before simply collecting the candles and casting prestidigitation to wipe the surface clean. It looked just as it was. Turning to Luca, Ambrose merely gave him a small smile before waving him back to follow. They needed rest, but no amount of sleep quelled that desire for vengeance. Rushinov foresaw his future, and there would be blood. And we go out, and we still see there's like a twinge in Ambrose's eye from his interaction with the Scarlet Triad agent.
Spooky.
Let's go through a mix of emotions right now. It's what happens when you deal with beings from many other places.
That are all tied to him somehow.
Yeah. It almost like it seems to transcend like time and space almost. Like there's people from his past, there are beings from, it seems like, halfway across Galarian, and then there's like interplanar. It literally sounds like there's interplanar stuff going on too. Like what?
Oh yeah. So from here, I want to focus in on all the slaves that you guys had just freed. Zamak, who is super happy to see you guys and also excited to, as I say, get back to his life with his new wife. Anybody say congratulations? Get him a wedding gift?
Freedom. Gift is your freedom.
Okay. I'm sure that was on the registry.
Wow.
I'd also accept money.
Wow.
Here's a gold piece.
So he, some of them are extremely weak. The moment that you like tell them to like leave, they just like stop and just like fall to the ground. And they're like, they're awake, obviously they're conscious, but they will most likely need help to get out of here.
It might just be worth it to have them stay in this room.
Let's perhaps get them into the room of beds and until they can at least rest up enough.
I'm down with that, getting them into the bed, in the bedroom.
Yes.
The bunks.
I mean, at this... Yeah, because we don't want to be like, oh, right, just leave, and then they just collapse in the statue room, and then you just go to a pile of bodies. We're like, oh, whoops.
Yes, get all of them in the bed chamber with all those flammable sheets. Oh, sorry, that was the paragraph talking.
So it'd be good to just like give them some rations, whatever water we have, and like, you know, give them a couple torches so they're not just sitting there in darkness.
Go ahead. He wants to do some medicine here just to see their general condition.
I'm the medicine man.
Yeah, I mean,
you're the medicine man.
It's a bunch of people. So,
medicine
we can split.
Yeah. So yeah, you guys tell them that they don't need to work.
Like
on
I
that.
Said
yeah,
last like, episode, kind of I don't you. Have any water. All I have is these four locos.
Just crazy enough to work.
Shotgun this four loco and just run past those statues.
I guarantee you'll be strong enough.
It will
even
give you.
If you
the
don't
speed
make it,
you
might not care in the end.
Shotgun four loco, man.
All right. God damn, of course. 39. That was a 19 on die.
I got a 27. I can treat four at once.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I cannot. That one person will get really good attention, I guess.
you're looking over these guys, and there's a female dwarf. Her name is Ka Kenmore. She is like not able to speak. She's like so weak. Her feet are blistered and dealing with infections. She needs like immediate medical attention. So if that's something that you can,
I mean,
provide,
I have the marvelous
here,
medicine.
Great.
So if she's afflicted by any condition, I can immediately make a counteract check against it.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you
I can use
that.
It on any person. It just automatically gets applied when I do a treat wounds. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. So okay.
If you have a condition in mind that they have, I can roll against it.
It's just general infection. Like I said, they've been sitting. You know, I guess it's like Phil's fever on top of, you know, some other gross stuff.
Well, I got a nat 20, so four of them. If they had any sort of something, it's gone.
You're like, well, we have to amputate, and she's like,
no! Just kidding.
Oh, seems you're strong enough. They'll jump.
You see here, I have this magical medicine kit. It works. It's amazing. I saw it once in the field. Oh, that was a glorious day. And I got smashed by an ogre. That was unfortunate. But this one's in great condition.
she's falling asleep because your boring story went off a
while. Finally has relief from her infection and her work and just the perfect thing.
Garn, tell me another story.
You see, it was back in the summer of 95. It'd be 3,995.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So they're all like extremely tired, and then they don't want to be in here, obviously. The fact that they have like freedom, they're like, could you please, if we could just leave.
Definitely free to go if we have the strength to make it.
I don't know. Since some of us do, but some of us they beat quite badly. And you look, and yeah, that some of them have some pretty nasty whip marks. Lots of things where they had just did pointless tortures and
but
stuff
then
like that.
You must have patience. You must hold out for just a while longer. Your needless toil is done. The hard part now before you is just awaiting. I will say, if we do not come back in, I don't know, 10, 20 minutes, maybe 30, just run.
We
failed.
Something I profess the faith.
Profess the faith over and over again when you run through that.
So I have to say it with conviction, and you just say it in Dwarvish. Oh.
Yes.
Have your dwarven friend here teach you. I think she. Well, no, never mind. She's asleep. When she wakes up.
Could I weaken it, Bernie, sir, while she's asleep?
If you're up for it,
would that work?
Only if you can also do the ventriloquism.
Professor Frey. You're like, perfect.
Tell me, were you involved in any theater productions in high school?
Oh, plenty. I did all these plays.
He starts talking
about all the different plays.
Kez relieves so fast.
I was about to say, Sandra's like, I'm gonna kill them now.
No, you need to hear about this one time backstage. Ah. Okay, so you just want them to wait, and then you guys are gonna go on to the next room.
Yeah, we can't be escorting 9 people out while there's still so much threats in this dungeon.
Oh my god.
Yeah. It's a liability.
Take a 10-minute rest while we're in there.
Alright. So you spent 10 minutes
recover your focus points or whatever you have in there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was going to say this, too, because of the fact that you guys had taken 10 minutes to do medicine on them anyway. So I was going to ask the other two that don't feel like healing people. What do you guys want to do during that?
Not really an option.
Don't feel... completely indifferent.
Just spitting on the wound.
Really apathetic to their suffering.
He doesn't care. In fact, he's tired of it.
Couldn't we just heal him later?
Rub some dirt in it. I will make perception checks at the top two doors here. See if I hear
anything.
I know
we also didn't officially do perception checks on the toil room to the south.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in case there's any secret door.
I guess, I can do that. Yeah.
Chest full of random loot put in there with the... With the poor tortured souls.
Just always out of reach.
That's the incentive. There's corn dogs in front of each one of them.
Corn dogs.
Dang.
Each time they push, it just gets further away.
Corn dogs.
You know, the first time I had a corn dog was watching Scary Movie 3. Never forget that.
Oh, yeah?
Great corn dog, terrible movie.
Kelly, who showed me the movie and who fed me the corn dog.
Wait a minute. Wait, was Scary Movie 3 the one where the aliens were?
Yeah, actually, that was a pretty good movie.
Fucking hilarious. Dude, yeah. cocking the shovel lives in my mind completely.
Also, Leslie Nielsen being like, we're not so different. Peeing with his finger.
Cocking
that
the shovel.
That shit was actually hilarious.
I forgot about that.
Cocking the shovel was the best part of that movie.
How do you say goodbye?
I think I lost it so bad at that part I had to pause the movie.
Also, the white dude was supposed to be Eminem throwing up his hood in the middle of the rap battle. That was so fucking funny.
Put your hood down, I know it!
Oh my god. Anyway, we should go watch Scary Movie 3 again. There's nothing else in that room. So while you guys are, go ahead and perceive. You said the two doors up to the north.
Two doors down.
John. All right, go ahead and roll perception.
Because we're looking at those two doors down there. While he's doing that.
Okay.
So for the first door, Sandor gets a 33.
Okay. I'll just carry that over to both the doors. You go up and you put your ear to one, and you don't hear anything in there, but you smell something real stinky.
Latrines, you got probably. Cheese back there.
It's the poops.
Yeah, it's probably the the shitter.
Yeah, what kind of stinky? Are we talking like poop stinky or like decay stinky? Oh, okay.
Poop stinky.
And there's no one straining just so we're clear. Behind it.
Oh no, it's definitely shit.
You don't hear anyone grunting. I mean, you're fine.
So if you open up those two doors, they are in fact
just a whole
search them for loot.
Lab doors.
They always had the good stuff in there.
There's no loot, but occasionally there's booty.
God dang it!
That might be the funniest thing you've ever said to me.
I got a 36 for the two doors down below.
Hey, I still have one door to go.
You want to search the door
for a second?
The,
I thought
in that
one
corner
door
that you're
left towards. No, go back to Kezra.
No. But both of them do. Yeah. All right. So Kezra, you go down. So there's like a little 15 by 10 foot hallway with two doors. So you go up to it, 36. And you see a 36. Okay, you put your ear up to this door, and the noise of the hammering and clanging and stuff hitting metal becomes extremely loud. You hear people in pain and suffering. You hear that there's like an intense heat coming off the door. You know how like they tell you that if there's like a fire to like not put your hand on the handle, you feel that when you put your ear up to it, this door is hot. An intense heat is behind this door. Additionally, you hear a voice, a low, burning, guttural voice. What languages do you
pass.
Speak? Okay.
Common Draconic, I'm calling it. If he even speaks Draconic.
Yep. Do you speak Orc or no?
No. I speak common.
No,
wow.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You
cultured.
Do,
or
not learn it either. Yeah. This voice just seems to be repeating the same thing. Just us, no, no, us, no, no, over and over and over again. Furthermore, you hear these heavy. Metal chained footsteps. And you can sit there for long enough that you hear it almost patrolling. Because it comes closer and then it goes away. Then it comes closer and it goes
but
away.
But the voice is the
can
same.
Can I roll society to determine what the language is, even if I don't understand it?
It's definitely Dwarvish.
Oh. Okay. So
yeah, you've probably heard it, you know,
spoken. Yeah, okay.
But it doesn't sound like it's coming from, like, a dwarf or a human. You know what I mean? It sounds like extremely otherworldly, almost.
Does it sound like Sandor talking Dwarvish? Oh.
No. It doesn't sound like it's coming from vocal cords.
They've got a boombox in there.
How about the door to the left? The one at the end of the hall.
It appears to go to the same room as you hear it. You hear the same thing.
All right.
That's good for us.
Then I will do the other door next to me.
Okay. So, yeah, so there's a door that's, like, on the other side of the same corner of
cleaning
the wall
closet,
that Kesra's at. Go ahead and roll perception on that pledge. One. I promise. I promise there's
trust
no...
You, Jake.
You smell the power of pine soul.
It's really funny to tell you that there's poop, but there's not.
This was the pee only. This is the urinal.
It's a big sign in the door.
Tim, I'm blanking. 21 plus 16.
That's 37.
Yeah.
37. You hear the same thing, except you can identify what this guy is saying. You hear, up, down, harder, up, down, keep working. Up.
Could I make
down.
A religion check, either in and, well, or just an arcana check to see if I know what's making that noise?
Bah.
All right. Well,
you can try.
I'll try.
Yeah.
No. That was a six on the dice.
No. Oh. Yeah, you're not sure. So without seeing it, you're not too sure what this voice is.
Well, it sounds
three
like...
3 points of entry.
Yeah. 3 points of entry. I was kind of hoping we weren't going to have to fight 10 things at once, but we'll see.
While they are doing their perceptions, within the 10 minutes that you guys are Ambrose and Garn, while you guys are healing... some of them that are well enough to tell you or talk to you. There's a guy named Vedgut Flintbelly, another dwarf, and he's like
I need to tell you that there was these people that captured us. They brought us to this woman, this dwarf. She's working with Hringar. We thought that they hated each other.
And then he sees Sandor and is like,
but times are changing.
I don't know what to do in this world.
But,
the future is strange and confusing. But he goes on to say that, like, they thought that, you know, they were at odds and they didn't work together. But they just assumed that she was so powerful that she was able to command Hringar. She was clearly in charge.
Okay, that's probably the lady that we already know about. The one who works, or who's, like, commanding this whole operation.
Yeah, they go on and say, she was ruthless. She's the one who made us do that, and the Hringar were happy to, happy to oblige. We built it ourselves, and then kept pushing. I don't know how long we've been doing it, but they would make us do it in shifts for hours, days, maybe.
Well, thank you so much for the information. Now is the time to rest, Mother. We will take on the fight from here.
I mean, any that are willing to discuss a little bit more, just be like, who else? What else is in there?
Well, have you been in the forge over there?
Any points to the room that Kesra's got his ear
up
against?
We have not. We were told that there was, 10 or 11 people in there or something? Agents, as you said?
Not in there, but deeper down, I believe. There's a tunnel that goes out. From that forge, but in that forge is a creature that I've never even heard of. I've never even come across it in childhood tales.
That's unsettling.
You're telling me there's a tunnel that goes out from the forge and it leads deeper into the mountains.
It leads out. I've only seen some of those people use it before, but I've never been there myself. I think that they were culling the weak. I think they said.
But as far as people moving in and out for like a main path, to go elsewhere, would they use the front door, or would they use that tunnel as well?
I saw many use that tunnel, but very rarely did I see anyone go out here.
Oh, and he points to the north that you guys came from.
So the front door is hardly used. Huh.
But listen, that creature in there, his mouth is full of fire. He's enormous. He looks like a dwarf, but his face is a stone skull or something. He looks, his chains wrapped all around him, and his breath is pure magma. It's like a volcano rest within his own bowels.
Sheesh.
Well, it would do us well if we had some resistances to that fire. I'm quite fortunate to be wearing a ring that gives me such protections. I hope the others do as well. Have some sort of magics or something.
Or inherent abilities.
Mm. Yeah, my blood. Dip of blood.
That's good.
My blood.
I'm just trying to think of what the hell this thing would be.
Sounds like it's going to be a tough battle. Yeah,
I'm just thinking, like, hey, is there a way we could do a religion check? But, yeah. I don't know. What type of check? Just I know it would be a high check, but...
Wait, tell me.
It would be especially heavy because he doesn't even know how to describe it. He also hasn't described any abilities because it's only
hit us.
It hasn't used any special stuff. Yeah, it's only beat us around a little bit. Make a religion one because he said that its face looked like a skull made of stone almost.
Okay, I got a 36.
Okay.
Now there's gonna be the DC's be higher because it's only being described instead of seen.
Right. So a 36, mm-hmm. You say?
I'm quite religious.
You are quite religious. I'm gonna give it to you.
This is like freaky bedtime tales from mom and dad.
Yeah. So, this thing that you're hearing about is something called a forge spurned.
Hmm.
So,
if you don't clean your mallets and keep your forge tidy, you're going to get turned into the forge spurned.
Essentially, yeah. There's some sort of a boogeyman thing here for dwarves, right? This thing has its enormous size, and it has a chain in one hand and a warhammer in the other. And there's something about there's two distinct things that you've heard about it. One, it can breathe fire as hot as the deepest forge within the Five Kings Mountains.
That's
like,
cool.
That's the legendary thing about
that's
it.
Sick.
Additionally, it appears to have some sort of story about how it devours souls.
Oh, boy. That's fun.
Another one, huh?
And it feeds off of, like, life.
So get your fireballs ready, boys.
What?
I've only heard tales of the forge spurned as a wee child. My parents used to use it as a threat to make sure I kept my workspace area clean. I was very untidy, all right?
That's a very
That's
cruel thing
really
to threaten a
it.
Child with.
Clean your That's forge never... or your soul gets eaten.
By the forge spurned.
That's why I didn't make it as a craftsman. I turned to the cloth. But apparently, if I remember correctly, the breath, hot as the legendary forge. And I don't know if this was embellishment by my parents, but it can devour your soul. So, you know, scared me enough. I kept my area tidy, at least for a month or two. And then they
and they said, they saw my work, looked as bad as Brigvin's, said, maybe you should try something else there, Khan.
Maybe not cut off a sport.
You ever thought about being a nerd at church?
Maybe it's not your thing, man.
All right, how do we want to approach this next room?
Yeah.
I mean, three entrances, I think, is great so that we are spread apart for the inevitable cone of fire that's going to be blasted at us. So I think that's good. If anyone has any way to resist energy on those who do not have resistance, because like I said, I have the ring, resistance 5. I don't know what y'all have. Ambrose said you have an 8 resistance. Yep. Sandor, I don't think you have anything, right? You're just as naked as they come.
Yep.
When it comes to fire.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything.
Dang. I thought you used to take energy resistance, Kel.
Energy resistance.
That spell got replaced as a whatever spell, sorcerer spell with the remaster.
So they don't have resist energy anymore?
Well, they don't have it. It isn't one of my given sorcerer spells. They got replaced with something else.
So Kezra just forgot one day he took a giant dump and nap in there with the resist energy magic.
You know what? I don't want to do it anymore.
Is that how you lose knowledge, Tim? You dump it out?
I mean, yeah, how else is it going to exit your body? What, is it going to leak out of your ears?
I feel like there's probably an answer to that, but I don't actually know. I don't think losing memories has anything to do with pooping, but I can't.
Exactly.
I can't prove it to
you. You can't.
Okay, I'm not a not a nerd.
All right, neuroscientist, so write in.
I can't say otherwise.
Tell me I'm right.
Am I pooping out my memories? I want you to ask that at your next physical. I think I need to see a specialist.
Your doctor goes, yeah, you can see a specialist, immediately hands you a refer to a psychologist. you gotta see somebody. All right.
Okay. I'm going to cast invisibility on myself.
That's a good thing.
So I will be invisible.
I'm trying to look at all these scrolls. Okay. There's a scroll of false life. I mean, that is such a weak scroll. You might as well use it. It's only a spell level 2. Right?
Oh, yeah, I'll use that, sure.
10.
Well, was it give you 5?
Hey, that's enough. Fucking.
It's something.
I mean,
that might save your life.
Honestly,
might save your life.
To Sandor.
Yeah.
Sandor, give yourself 10 temporary hit points.
There's a obscuring mist. Maybe not as useful.
No, I think we're good.
Okay, so with the false life,
I'm happy to be
for Sandor, 10 temporary hit points. Yeah, that's good. You need some consumables, why not?
Yeah,
like it.
And Ambrose is going to use invisibility on himself as well. So.
And I get to find out what I'm going to have my eminence in for the battle. Yay. Roll the dice.
We have to know that.
Let's see what I get. Titans. Oh, nope. That's a 4. So I think it's a reroll. So just get back to me. Oh. I'll have to keep rolling until I hit 1 through 3. All right. I will start off with the Victor's Wreath. So Garn, totally unbeknownst to him, the Victor's Wreath starts glowing.
Whoa. All right. Who is going to open up their first door?
Do it on count.
SEAL Team 6.
SEAL Team 6.
Breach.
Garn assumes the command for doing the count, as is the leader.
Say it in Dorvish. So. oh wait, that's right. Kezra can't. Oh.
Switches to common.
If you have not gotten, I don't know if I've given you a call.
Oh gosh, that's horrifying. Great.
And then please open up your doors.
Doors out of reach.
That's a big room.
Boom, there you go. Yeah, but...
oh, because your token wasn't there that big.
Oh, God, the room just goes... Oh, my goodness.
It's almost a little pointless having all these doors into it.
A little bit. An immense four-sided forge looms in the center of this large cave, its interior aglow with bubbling magma that heats the room into a sweltering temperature. A massive anvil sits before each of the forge's arched openings, while a dark metal pipe siphons smoke out of the forge into the ceiling to the west. Can all of you see into this room, or do I need to add a light?
I can see in.
Yep.
Okay.
It seems the room's just illuminated.
From the bubbling magma, you know?
It might. Oh, yeah, sure. It's okay, good. All right. So, as the doors open, some of the slaves in this room turn to look at you.
Oh!
They're scared, and then they're a little confused. What comes around the side of the forge is this thing. I will hit show to players now.
Oh, man.
Oh, he's angry. All right.
I mean, it is true cool. to the description. Skull face, looks like it's breathing fire.
It's like stones.
And then the wicked cool armor. It's all dark with some nice embellishments. Yeah, he almost looks undead.
I'm pretty damn sure he's undead.
If he's some form of undead, he's extremely warped. Like, he's some warped form of undead. He marches around the top side and comes down, and he stands on the east side of this forge here, right? And he sees you all there, and he says,
"Ah! Perfect products! Muscles made for walking the forge!"
And the fire heats up in his eyes and his mouth. Jeez. I would like you all to
my muscles.
I was about to say, muscles for working a forge. Are you really looking at me?
I was about to say, you're working at
me. Look at a car, let's be honest, all right?
I was looking at that one.
Looking at the one.
I'm invisible.
Oh, no, I'm scared. I rolled a nat one.
All right, let me get everybody in here. I had to remove one initiative and put another one. Oh my gosh, so much work. All right, I am going to put the slaves in here, but they're all going to kind of go at once, if that makes sense. So let me go ahead and roll for him. What? Oh, hold on, here we are. All right, and... All right, I have the slaves and I have this thing. Ambrose, what do you
got? 29. Well, crap.
36.
Sandor, what'd you get?
That's good.
That's a pretty good number.
21.
Darn. 21. And Kezra.
22.
Just over gone.
Barely.
I was going to be really mad if Garn still went ahead of me with an natural one. I was like, he might. You know, like, it was close. I rolled a 4.
Oh my god!
Hey, and you also
classic Kezra.
Hey, you beat Kezra. The slaves working the forge too. So,
okay, so, Sandor, are going first.
Just what you wanted.
Yeah, no, you don't always want to go first as a spellcaster.
You're a wizard.
You'd be like, you have to think about what you actually want to fucking do.
I mean, I have an idea what I want to do. But also, I don't know if I want to use this caliber of spell yet. Because I don't know when we're going to get a rest next.
I kind of feel like this is the last room in this place.
There's a tunnel, but I feel like this thing is pretty fucking bad.
Okay, Sandor uses a 7th level spell.
Oh, what is it?
Yes!
It's not a big blasty spell, so don't go crazy yet. A secondary image of Sandor appears in front of where Kezra's door is. This is,
okay.
Project image. You project an illusion image of yourself, which must stay in range of the image. Of me, essentially. And if at any point you can see the image, the spell ends. I can see it. Whenever you cast a spell other than the ones whose... I can essentially choose myself or the image to which one my spells come from.
Oh.
Oh, cool.
So I essentially now have two options of positioning and also fooling enemies where I cast spells from.
Sick.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Okay. All right, I believe I can copy and paste your token. So I'm going to put one there. There we are. Okay, cool.
And then I'm going to move to not be in front. Yeah, actually.
Okay.
I'm just going to stay right there.
Okay, so you're not even in the room yet, but... all right. It Great. Comes to this thing's turn.
I know.
It is going to... let me make sure that I have... Oh, hold on. Let me measure out this cone.
Yep.
Measure out a cone real quick.
I know, we're in like a perfect cone.
Yep.
Like, Ambrose's art... Is that cone not reaching inside the door, it looks like? I can't quite tell.
Tim, shut up.
It's like just barely outside of it.
Sick.
So, and the way that like cones work, so you guys are like a little spread out. Now, here's the thing, is that he cannot see Kezra. But he can see...
Sandor's illusion.
Right.
Yes.
So he thinks so he's I think what he's going right to do... There.
He does think that he's getting three right there. But... He is going to move up. Because it's a two-action thing called Forge Breath. So he moves up, and as he begins moving up, he breathes in real deep. And this gout of flame that sound feels like it's coming directly out of the hottest
forge. The legendary
forge. Known to dwarf. he breathes it out, and it is going to hit Sandor's illusion, which I don't know what that does necessarily, but I do need... Garn, Luca, actual Sandor, and invisible Ambrose, because he just happens to be in that spot. All to make reflex saves.
Not my worst, to be honest, so.
Not my best.
Oh, get fucked, Jake.
Alright. I'm gonna go left to right here. So, Sandor, I'll do you last, so that way you...
Oh, it shares the same stage as me.
Garn. Oh, okay. Okay, well, there we go. All right, well, I'll still do left or right here. Garn, what'd you get?
He's thinking about using a hero point already.
That's a hero point. That's a hero point.
I really wish I could have gone before this guy.
I rolled a nat one.
Oh,
yes,
my God.
Then yes, zero. Do it.
Oh, God.
How did I get two nat ones in a row? Like, that's a statistical anomaly, okay?
What, with the euro point?
No, it's like a 1 in 10,000 chance or something to roll two of the same number in a row.
Buy a scratcher.
On a d20.
How long have you been playing this game, Tim?
All right.
When it rains, it pours, bro.
Yeah, so Garn is going to tap into that inner heroism. He's going to remember a time. Actually, all right, Jake, if you'll permit me, I am going to go back to the Clashing Shore in Garn's mind. This is a short one yet. However, as he's being blasted with this fire, his head begins to hurt. And his mind is transported back to the Clashing Shore, where it's a demon, right? Demon of the Clashing Shore? Is it a devil? I can never remember.
Both are there,
doing a similar kind of fire breath attack, and he, ducks behind like a nearby, like, you know, boulder or something, or maybe like a pile of like, you know, demon bodies because they're all resistant to fire.
Of course, yeah. So there's a big old pit.
Exactly. And as his mind is coming to, he like realizes again who he is, that he is not Garn the War Priest, but he is Garn the Exemplar. And I'm going to use that hero point.
Okay.
It's not a one. It's not a one. It's a 26.
Well,
that's still a critical fail.
It's probably still a critical fail. Hey, but at least Garn is back to being Garn.
Oh no. Okay.
Dead.
So.
It's a good thing you have that resistance five hanging around.
I'm going to go to Luca next. How are we doing reflex save versus Luca?
It's fine though.
Okay.
I got a 41 for Luca and 37 for Ambrose.
You live forever.
Okay. So you success.
My reflex is
Sandor got a and then Sandor got a natural 20.
Hey, let's go.
Okay. Sandor's illusion.
Okay.
Got
so,
a 33.
Okay, so that is a fail then. Okay. So here's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be doing a lot of fire damage. This is, let me see, what's this? 12d6?
And it's going to be doubled for me.
Shit.
This will be doubled. Wow, you guys got lucky because that was 30.
Shut up, we'll take it.
Yep.
Oh, so
that's amazing.
That was a lot of ones in my rolls there. It was one.
Wow,
two,
so I took
three,
wow.
10 five ones.
From that.
So it's double. Additionally, me, right? So I take 60, so 55.
Okay, yes, correct. Yeah.
Oh.
Additionally, the soot and ash cover this entire area. Those of you that failed are blinded for 1 minute.
Oh, wait. Those of you who failed.
Those of you that have failed the save are also blinded for 1 minute.
I would
like
to point out that will not affect my illusion.
Yeah.
I assume so, yeah.
Your illusion
is that is really bad for one of us.
What happens to Grit Fail?
Is Garn permanently blinded?
What happens to Grit Fail?
It doesn't say anything about a Grit Fail.
Oh, God.
It's just a basic reflex save. However, creatures within the cloud are concealed, as the concealment of all the soot in the air makes it very difficult to see within it. Okay.
All right.
So we got all that. So bunch of damage. Those of you that failed are blinded, and if you're in the cloud, you are concealed. So I will leave that cone up for reference, as that entire thing is now soot.
Oh, fuck.
Big ol' soot cloud. Real sooty day here on the Dragon Punch Club podcast. After that, Ambrose, it comes to your turn.
give me a second. I've got it. I'm coughing in real life and in here. So, thankfully, I only took 10 points of damage with that, so that was felt good. How are you doing, Garn?
Darn it. How are you, buddy?
Hey, buddy. He needs to get out of this soot cloud. Alright, so. God, I don't want to be like the only person up here, but at this point, I will. Can I flank with the slaves here? No.
No, the slaves are not fighting.
I see a hammer in his hand.
With the slaves.
Flank with the slaves. Hey, I'll free you if you hit this creature. I don't know.
You're free. Help me fight.
Please help me. All right, so it's going to take two actions. Split, so it'd be a 2-2. So Luca is going to run up to this thing. Actually, okay. Let me do this properly. Okay. So let's do a... Okay. So he's going to do a... a one action boost Eidolon as well to give him just a little bit more damage if he hits.
Mm-hmm.
Luca's going to run up.
What's Luca's speed?
30, I think, at this point.
Okay, because it's difficult terrain, but I think you only moved 15 feet. So you should be fine.
Oh, through the soot. Cause
no, he's blind, isn't he?
No, I'm not.
No.
You
that's Garn. Sorry,
Garn.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
That's the lumpy dwarf. He blinded.
Yeah. He's the only one blind.
Yeah, no. But my actual speed is, like, fine, but I'm pretty sure it's 30 just because of fun boots I'm wearing.
Okay, then, yeah, you're still fine then. So.
Oh, yeah. So Luke is going to run up, see this giant creature, and just swing out. Let's see. Please hit with a plus 26 to hit. Come on, baby.
Okay.
It's a high chance of hitting, I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Ooh, 38 to hit.
That is a hit.
Oh, okay. That's good. And that is 27 plus. Damage wise, just throwing that out there, it was 27 points of damage.
Okay.
A 4 cold, 5 spirit.
So, 27. And then.
Yeah, 27 points of damage, but I'm just going to say, like, 4 of it is cold, 5 of it is spirit.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. When the cold hits him, it seems to sear against his armor really well.
Yeah, I've got a plan, I just don't know what's going with the turn order right now.
Yeah,
maybe packing, like, a blizzard or a sheer cold or something there.
Sheer cold, yeah.
I mean, I'd take an ice beam at this point.
Oh, and add a plus 4 to that as well, like 4 more from the height, boost.
Yeah.
So
yeah, from the boost. As Luca's entire body, he is his sword. His entire person is his armor and his weapon. As he goes up and hits this creature, I need Luca to make a reflex save.
Ooh. Okay.
Just
to
try to hit him?
It might be because it's a natural attack, technically. So I... Oh, fuck. 26.
26, that is a fail.
Fuck.
So 12 points of fire damage. As you go up and hit him, and it sears your weapon, your ghostly weapon hits, but you can see that it, like, charred and sooted the sword that is, like, connected to
that's no good,
Luca.
Oh, fun. It has to be because
we hope that's the reason.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, otherwise, what are we going to do anyway? Hit the crap out of him and hope we win.
Yeah, can you imagine if Guard's weapon breaks, though? No.
That is it.
All right. Oh, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Kezer, it is your turn.
Sweet. All right. While invisible, Kezer casts a spell. And to everybody observing Luca, everybody in this room, he suddenly becomes the most, the thing that they are afraid of the most.
Okay.
So, all of a sudden, everybody's looking at Luca, and they see their worst fear. And that's it. Kezra will use his last action to... He's just going to move over here a little bit out of the way.
Okay. All right. There's no save attached to that yet, whatever that is?
Nope.
Okay. guess we'll find out what that is. All right. It comes to Garn. Garn, this thing washed over you with intense heat, and the soot is in your eyes, and you try to open them up, and you ever get something in your eye, and eventually if you kind of rub it, it goes away. You keep rubbing your eyes, and you realize this is caked into your eyelids. You cannot see. And you hear panic in the room from the slaves. You hear Luca run past you to go up. You hear your friends screaming around you as fire engulfs them, and you're completely blind. And I'll see you guys next time.
Oh,
I knew it.
Oh boy.